I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Good afternoon, welcome to The Memo. It is Thursday, December 1st. It's Christmas 1st.
It's also morning.
It's the first of Christmas.
Oh, but it's the afternoon.
But not when they listen to it, see? You got to think about the future.
Sorry.
You can't be selfish and be in the present.
You're right. I'm sorry.
You always have to. The future is always present. Looming. That's Emma.
That's very... Hi.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Brad's dead.
Yep.
She killed him.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Derek, you weren't supposed to say that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Brad's not here anymore. Chris told me last night that Brad had the youngest child had a doctor's appointment with Brad this morning. I said he should probably get a licensed physician. I don't think Brad's capable of being a doctor. So in his absence, we bring in the best.
I don't know about that.
We did.
But I feel like...
Why don't you just do this all the time? I don't understand.
Well, I don't know.
I think you should be here all the time with us.
Well,
with me.
You, yeah.
I think we should get rid of Brad. Brad's got other stuff now.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Brad's got children.
Does that have to do with anything?
He's a lot of them.
Yeah, well.
He's got to take care of them.
When you get to 12.
He's got to wrangle them.
You sort of lose count.
We were in...
He does have to go out 5 a.m. every morning and start getting them into the fence.
Throw them some feed.
Yeah, in the trough.
Man.
You were what?
No.
No?
We were, well, okay.
Yes, okay.
When we went to, Chris and I were at Carver the other day.
Sure.
Gym full of children, you know, yeah. Probably like, what, 100 kids
yeah.
in the gym. And I was like,
running
oh.
wild.
Did you see Wesley? Did you ride to Wesley?
Looked for her.
Yeah,
she wasn't Wesley. There. But I was like, Chris, do you think this is what Brad feels like all the time
nice.
When he's at home?
Nice.
And it wasn't really that funny, but.
It was. I appreciate it.
I left.
Yeah.
On a quiet
Sorry,
day.
Sorry, Brad.
He was.
We like you.
Your kids don't. I don't know.
It's a little harsh.
We brought them all in today to talk about it. It's
each one.
That would be funny.
That would be.
It's cathartic.
Right before. Therapy session.
Yeah, yeah. Come in and tell us all the reasons.
Tell
you don't
us
like
about
your dad.
We'll
save that for Festivus. When it comes around later this month. But Brad is out today, so Emma gracefully agreed to come on.
Yes, here I am.
Yes, we appreciate
gracing
you.
Gracing the podcast
yes.
with my presence.
With utmost grace.
Yes.
Yes.
That is my middle name.
Are you? Is it?
No.
No, okay.
No.
I could see that.
No.
Emma G. Crawford. I could. What was your middle name?
Catherine.
That works, too.
With a C. Not a K.
So were you still, did you keep that and you hyphen it? What? No.
No, I'm just Emma.
Still the same letter, though.
Crawford.
Kent. Yeah.
I dropped the Catherine. I never really liked it.
You didn't like Catherine.
Sorry, Mom.
I was one of those that was given a middle name to go by and not a first. So.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. So, not that I was gonna change it or anything.
Not that you were gonna drop your middle name.
It's one of those things. It's you know the first day of school every time. It's.
Actually, I go by
first
Derek.
Name. First, no, it's you can't. Everybody else gets to say present. They get to you, and it's like God, I have to speak. And then one year, I was like, nope, I'm just gonna. Stick with it.
You're just going to be like, yep, that's my name.
Yep. And then about halfway through the semester, I was like, no. They were like, oh, he's having like a middle school crisis.
Middle school
yeah,
meltdown.
Yeah, he's
send
like,
him to
he's
the counselor's
send,
office.
Send him by another name. I was like, no, seriously, I've gone by this name my entire life. No.
I had a professor in college who called me Anna for an entire semester.
Was that just a typo or?
I have no idea. I wrote Emma on all my papers and he would give them back to me. Like he knew. Who to give them to.
Right.
But in class, if he called on me, he would be like, Anna, what do you think?
And you just roll.
And I would
it.
Look around and he would be staring at me. And I would be like, well.
Well, I'm Emma and I think.
And I would never correct him. I don't know. I just
what
like
class
couldn't,
was that?
Couldn't bring myself. It was a French class.
Okay, so it wasn't like logic or anything.
No, it was a French class. And he didn't speak very good English.
In France
is Emma in French?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Joe Rutherford just walked by. Didn't we get rid of him yesterday?
No. Just can't, you can't stop. I mean,
it's going to take him the whole month of December to clean out that office, I guess.
Okay.
Well. Now that we've discussed names, you know what Brad's name is?
Brad?
No, his first name or his middle name.
Give me a hint. I want to guess.
It starts with an H.
An H? Herbert?
No. It's a good guess. Oh, I want to call him Herbert now.
Houston.
No. That's also a good guess. You just want to do that because of the Challenger, though.
Actually, no. Okay. I didn't think about that. I don't know. What's another H name? Herbert Houston.
Holland.
Is that his name?
No.
Oh, oh gosh. What's another one? Harold. Is it Harold?
That's it.
That's such a funny name.
Harry.
Harold.
Yeah, that's him.
Brad Harold. Is it Harold? Brad Harold?
Is it Brad Harold or Harold Brad?
Brad.
I think it's Brad Bradley. Harold. Bradley Harold.
Bradley Harold Locke.
Yeah.
Sounds very
His social security number is 4. If anybody was wondering. Have we talked about yours?
My.
Your middle name?
I don't know.
What's your middle name?
We've
discussed this before.
Is it Eugene?
It's not Eugene.
Is it Edward? Eugene. It starts with an E, though, right?
It does start with an E. It's French.
Emily.
Actually, it's...
Wait,
I think I've told that story before.
I knew this.
It's Emil.
Oh, okay.
But
I did not know that.
You were talking about getting called by the wrong name, and there was 1 year in college in back-to-back classes as they went through the roll, and same thing. It was, you know, say if it's a different name, and... Usually it'd be Christopher, and I'd just say Chris or whatever. But back-to-back classes, they called the roll, and they said, Emily Kiefer.
Here.
And so, like, I had to, like, say, here, call me Chris, and it's Emil, not Emily.
It's Emil. Because
I was, like, looking, Emily? Why is he called Emily?
I mean, you didn't want to let that one go just because it never came up again.
I should have.
Like, it's Emily.
Yeah.
Here.
My parents wanted a daughter.
Yeah, you got a problem with that?
Yeah, what? Fight me.
Let's go.
Let's go out in the parking lot.
Mom, it's my grandpa's name.
That's cool.
I like it. What were you named after, Emma?
My great-grandmother.
There you go.
Yep. Her name was Emma Lillian.
Everybody's got great family names.
She lived to be 104.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I've always had a feeling I'm going to die young, though.
Oh.
Is that weird?
No, a little.
Sorry. Making things too dark.
But it's just got,
I don't know. Like, sometimes you think about it and you're like, surely I'm not going to make it to 30.
Well, don't call me Shirley.
Or like, surely I'm not going to make it to 40.
Stop calling me Shirley. That's not my middle name.
Derek, I'm not going to make it to 40.
You might.
I mean, I hope I do.
Yeah. What?
I said, not with that attitude.
But sometimes, don't you ever think about that? Like, don't you ever think,
I've had that thought
before. That's so far, like, that seems so old. Like, what, you know?
I just don't usually talk about it.
I love how that seems so far, 40, for you.
Well, okay.
You're barely halfway there. Chris is knocking on the door.
But anyway.
Not of death, just of 40. Number. Just a number.
Knocking on the door of death.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I said not of death.
She's
I just
getting
said
really
of the number.
Morbid.
I mean, like, started it.
Who in this room do you guys think is going to die first?
Wow.
Rochambeau?
I think it's Derek.
What? She went for the fat one first. She was like, the fat one's going to die. He's going to have a heart attack. Good gosh.
No, I could just, I don't know. I
took up for you earlier.
Not anymore.
You just killed me off first.
I'm not killing you.
This is not Clue.
Life is going to kill you first.
Not your favorite anymore.
I'm just kidding. Derek, I hope you live a long, happy life.
Thank you.
And I don't think you're going to die anytime soon.
I appreciate that. Well, today's
show. So did you know that you can download stuff on Netflix now?
I do.
And keep it and watch it whenever you want?
What's the point of keeping it when I'm just going to die?
I'm just trying to give you some hope.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can do anything with it. It's not like yours to keep. You have to still watch it within the app.
Yeah, but you can watch it without internet.
Yeah.
Right? Which is cool for people who, like, are on planes and stuff.
I guess.
And in the car.
I don't know.
This is a game changer for you, Chris.
Yeah.
With your kids.
Car rides. Huge. Yeah. I mean, we can watch something other than Frozen.
Yeah.
Which is really big.
You need to let it go, Chris.
I wish. Mm. That's Daniel's favorite joke. Well, it was at one point about why Elsa can't have a balloon.
Because she'd let it go. Yeah.
I'm sure that was really funny the first time.
Need to give Daniel some new material.
Yeah.
Need to take him to see Moana.
Yeah, that's what Emma said. Get out of Frozen.
Which Scott Morris will be joining us to discuss today.
Indeed.
As well as Bobby Harrison down in Jackson. And
Bobby's going to talk about Moana?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
He actually did backup for Dwayne Johnson, so he's going to sing the welcome for us. And then Zach Orsborn will be joining us as well today. Today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant here in Tupelo, offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
Okay, so now we've got Bobby Harrison here from our Jackson Bureau to talk a little bit about this school recognition program. So, Bobby, if you'll kind of give us just the rundown on what this is and what they're talking about doing.
Well, I mean, it goes back to, actually, if you recall, in 2014, they passed a pretty big teacher pay raise. And the third phase, it was phased in over 2 years, I think, a pretty sizable pay raise. I think it was $2,500 across the board over 2 years, roughly speaking. And then the third phase of that pay raise is kind of, at least it was forgotten by me, was that there would be a type of merit pay for teachers and other employees in schools that are either A level, B level, or have increased the letter level a lot from D to, even from F to D or D to C or C to B, so forth. And it would be $100 per student in the schools that increase the level, a level or an A level of schools, and then $75 per student for all the students in a school that are B levels. And so this is, they're supposed to fund this as the legislation was written in 2014, this coming session, and it's in the governor's budget proposal. And also, as it turns out, the legislative leadership also appears to be working on this project. Greg Tollison has been doing, who's the Senate Education Committee chair from Oxford, he's been working on this. And so some teachers and other school employees could get a one-time raise based on what the 2017 legislature does.
Okay. And so Governor Phil Bryant and the Lieutenant Governor, Tate Reeves, have said that they support this. So do you think it's likely that this will happen, this legislative session?
Well, it's in state law. So, of course, a full funding of the Mississippi Adequate Education Program is in state law, too. And that doesn't happen.
Right.
But, yeah,
I think
this will happen. I think they're probably when they passed the law in 2014, when they passed the bill, it became a law. It was kind of broad stroke, and there were some issues that probably need to be solidified this session in terms of who can get the money, how the money be divvied. Like at one time, they were talking about each school that is eligible for this money setting up a committee within the school to decide how to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did the final bill didn't say that. It just said the money shall go to these schools to be for salary increases for teachers and other staff. And the other staff is not supposed to be administrators, but theoretically, all the money could go to, it could be, if you say you have a school with 500 students and an A school with 500 students, and $100 per student is a pretty sizable chunk of money, and it could be, the legislation doesn't explain that clarify how the money would be divvied up or who. I mean, theoretically, all the money could go to one real good algebra teacher, if that's how the folks in the school decided to divvy it up. But and that may not be a bad thing, I don't know. But I expect either the legislature during the 2017 session or State Board of Education to kind of put some more sort of specificity in how the money is going to be expended. Now, I say one-time money. What I mean by that, I mean, I guess it could be given out at one time, but it could be given out throughout a school year. But say a school is A level right now, and then they drop to C level, after this year they wouldn't be eligible for that money. Whereas a school that was a C level that improved to a B level would be eligible for the money. So that's when I say one time, that's what I mean by that.
Right. And something else I thought was interesting from your story is that you said with changes in the state's accountability model, the cost of the program will have changed and probably be less than what they originally estimated in 2014, which was about $24 million. And so I think that's kind of interesting just because, we do have less, or we have fewer A schools and fewer schools that moved up a level this year. And so what is the total cost? Have they estimated a total cost if they were to do it now with the accountability model having shifted?
Well, the governor has $16.4 million in his budget, I think. Greg Tollison, the Senate Education Committee Chair, said the State Department of Education is working right now to get those numbers. You know, you got to determine the number of A schools, B schools, and schools that moved up a level. But then you also have to determine the number of students in those schools, because it's based on, you know, as I said, for A level school, it's $100 per student. So there's a, you know, it's a little bit of work to come up with a number. My guess is it's going to be less than 24 million, but more than 16 million, which is in the governor's budget somewhere. I mean, probably around 20 million, but nobody had, I don't think the exact number's out there right now, but probably somewhere around between 16 and 20 million, maybe a little bit more.
Gotcha. All right. All righty. Well, thank you, Bobby, for joining us.
Hey, and if I could, one more thing that I would
sure.
A paragraph at the end of my story. But when this was passed in 2014, one criticism was that the concept, well, there were several criticisms, but the one that I think carried the most weight with the most legislators is that, you know, there may be some C, D, and even L schools that have good school teachers, and you want good school teacher to go to those schools to help improve them. And if they and this program might be counterproductive to attracting good school teachers to lower performing schools. And the law includes language saying that that the legislature is supposed to work out to develop a mechanism to award good school teachers in low performing school districts. Now, they have yet to do that, and that's probably a tough thing, tough cookie to crack, but it'd be interesting to see if they try to work on that during the 2017 session.
All right. Yeah, it seems like you would want, you know, to reward teachers who are working hard in those lower-ranked schools as well. So
right,
it'll be
right.
Interesting to see what they come up with. Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Bobby.
All right. Thank y'all.
Don't forget, you can look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. New episodes release on Wednesdays. You can find it for free on iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, you can check out Double Coverage. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon, in which they provide game reviews, inside commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. You can listen to it for free on iTunes, podcast apps, or doublecoverage.djournal.com.
And when you wake up in the morning and you're drinking your coffee, don't forget, while you get ready for your day, to watch the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, on Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community with this easily digestible format.
Zach Orsborn joining us on this Thursday. Happy holidays, Zach.
Merry Christmas.
You filthy animal. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Doing well. You reached out to Ray Shrimmard about not only having the number one song in the country for 3 weeks in a row and the most streamed song in the country for 3 weeks in a row, but also the upcoming Shrimp Fest, second annual?
Yeah.
Still can't call it an annual till the third year. It's the second.
The second
one. It's the inaugural plus one.
Yes.
Year. But you didn't get them. No. And that's okay. That's not your fault. We appreciate you, and you work really hard around here, and we're willing to look past it. But you did talk to their mom.
I did.
Who she does still live in Tupelo. Yeah. And they have just blown up over the past year and continue to do so with the release of this track, Black Beatles, which you really can't turn on anything without hearing it right now, much less in a YouTube viral video, because of the mannequin challenge is where this thing was born out of.
Yes.
And everybody has done one of these. Saturday Night Live did one, used Black Beatles, Erykah Badu. I was going through a list the other day. James Corden on the Late Late Show, all of them used this song from two brothers right here in Tupelo. So that's pretty cool. What did their mom have to say?
So their mom, when I talked to her yesterday, and she was like, so excited. She found out through Instagram. She was just scrolling through, and she saw that they had made it to the top of the Billboard Hot 100 charts, and they had just covered that the Billboard magazine too for the fashion issue. Mm-hmm. And she said, "To be honest, I could not have imagined this level of success. I knew they were going to be big, but how big, I didn't know. It's just amazing how it's all working out. They went from these grinding kids with a dream, and they went to the top." So she was thrilled, especially one of the people who did the mannequin challenge was Paul McCartney, and one of her favorite bands is the Beatles. And so he kind of signed off. He played Black Beatles in the background, and she said she like almost fell to the floor mm-hmm. with excitement.
That's one of the first ones I saw, which was I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Because it was like the second or third day after they started rolling out, and then mm-hmm. I saw SNL and everybody else do them, and now I think everybody in the world has one.
So many people. They right now they're kind of preparing for Shrimfest, the tour you were talking about, mm-hmm. which is on December 23rd, and they're also bringing the DJ Diplo, who was born in Tupelo, which he spent most of his time in Miami, but. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at the Bancorp South Arena. The first year had a really good turnout. I covered that last year, and there were so many people there, and the energy was really good, and it's a good thing for Tupelo, I think.
Absolutely. This is, as you said, this concert is on December 23rd. Last year, they had a full weekend of events, and according to Shrimfest website, they will again. However, we've not seen any announcements of what's going to take place on December 22nd. Right now, actually, I take that back. There has been an update to that. Nope, there has not. Look, the website has been upgraded, but there's general admission, VIP, and meet and greet tickets.
Nice.
So there you go. You can meet and greet. They don't have prices on here, so
yeah,
you get a poster. You get a poster signed.
Nice.
So there you go. So that's going to be at the arena on the 23rd. Yeah, originally they had the 22nd on here too, and I assumed that they were going to do something in the community like they did.
Like a homecoming?
Yeah, like they did last year. But all right, so be on the lookout for that later this month, and their song will just continue to grow in popularity until the next big hit comes along.
They just released a new video called Shake It Fast.
There you go.
And I think it has Lil Jon in it. So that's always a plus.
What?
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Uh-huh. They have...
I like how you look to me. Look.
They have songs with... Black Beatles has Gucci Mane in it, and which is a big deal in the hip-hop community.
And, Diplo's a pretty big deal, too. I mean, Diplo's few huge. People know. I mean, he did not live here too long, but was born here, and he's a huge get as well. Mm. He even had a Mannequin Challenge video that used Black Beatles, so the fact that he's going to be back is pretty big as well.
He won two Grammys.
Two, Emma.
For Tupelo.
Wow.
Dose.
Yeah.
You know who else
Dose Grammys.
Won some Grammys? He's from Tupelo?
I have no idea. Who could that be?
Me.
Elvis?
Never heard
Who's
of
that?
Him.
Who's that?
No Presley.
Idea. Never heard of him. Elvis Preston.
I'd take a minute to remind you guys that Elvis is from Tupelo, in case you forgot.
Do we have a birthplace here?
I think I've heard of it.
They should. I feel like, I feel like they would get a lot of money from that.
Good times. All right, thanks for joining us today, Zach.
Thanks, Derek.
Since Bobby Harrison was on today, we'd like to remind you that you can watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday with Bobby and Brad Locke. Bobby's out of Jackson. He's our Capital Bureau Chief, and they discuss the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over. Also, the 2016 year is almost over. But Bobby continues to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Now it's time for today's news memo. For more on these stories, you can visit djournal.com or read your daily journal. A storm system that swept through the southeast on Tuesday night caused some heavy damage in parts of northeast Mississippi. In Monroe County, a confirmed EF1 tornado touchdown in the southern part of the county. It originated in Clay County, and it had estimated peak wind speeds of 100 miles per hour. The twister traveled 6 miles and was 200 yards wide. The tornado damaged one home and four agriculture buildings, but there were no injuries reported. A separate storm in Itawamba County caused damage at Midway Marina and the Discount Grocery Building. It was worse in other parts of the South. 5 people were killed by tornadoes in 2 states, and at least a dozen more were injured. The storms tore through just as firefighters were beginning to get into control of wildfires that killed 4 and caused heavy damage in and around Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Tupelo unveiled a new historic marker on Wednesday to celebrate a business district that once served as the hub of the Black community of the early part of the 20th century. The 12th marker in the Tupelo Convention and Visitors Bureau's Heritage Trails Enrichment Program recognizes the Green Street Business District. It is the 6th marker on Tupelo's Civil Rights and African American Heritage Trail. The area stretching from Barnes Street to Spring Street was home to most of the Black-owned businesses in Tupelo Before desegregation, black residents were not allowed in most white-owned businesses, so the black community had its own grocery stores and other businesses, including places like Deborah's Cafe, Morgan's Grocery, Neil's Cab Stand, Elsie's House of Beauty, the Pigfoot Inn, and more. Tipalo CVB Executive Director Neil McCoy said the marker was placed in the area because it truly was an integral part of everyday life for those who lived and shopped in the neighborhood. The marker stands in the Green Street Grove Park where North Green Street meets Tolbert Street.
A Tupelo club donated caps and play mats for expecting mothers on Wednesday. Over a two-month period, the Lee County Library Cosplay Club, known as the Socially Awkward Time Lords, sewed 12 baby caps and 11 play mats. On Wednesday, the group gave those items to the Northeast Mississippi Birthing Project. The Birthing Project helps moms in need with birthing and breastfeeding. The idea for the project came from the club's sponsor, Cherise Campbell, who is a natural childbirth educator and doula. She wanted a project that would enhance the kids' sewing skills for their costume competitions while also helping out the community. They began sewing in October.
Two former inmates were returned to the Lee County Jail on Tuesday night, 10 days after they escaped from the downtown Tupelo facility. Two men accused of helping the escapees while they were on the run are also in custody. 31-year-old Michael Patterson of Nettleton and 36-year-old Mickey Williams of Plantersville were booked back into the jail on Tuesday night on the charge of felony jail escape. Lee County Sheriff Jim Johnson said a tip led deputies to the Belden area on the Lee County and Pontotoc line. They checked two residences in the area and arrested the two escapees without incident. Johnson said deputies also brought in the occupant of the house and another individual from the second location, but neither has been charged. According to jail records, 21-year-old Matthew Self of Aberdeen and Eddie Strawbridge of Belden were booked into the jail at the same time as Patterson and Williams. Johnson said charges are still pending for Self and Strawbridge. Patterson and Williams were both in jail on burglary charges, and as trustees, they had access to the jail's maintenance shop. It's believed that they cut a hole in the fence before they made their escape around 8 p.m. on November 19th. The men allegedly stole a work truck hours later in Saltillo Industrial Park. They face additional grand larceny charges for that crime.
Don't forget that today's episode is brought to you by South. We mentioned that it is a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. South is home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays. You can check out their happy hour specials each weeknight, and trivia begins at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. The winner gets a $50 gift card. So check out South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
Okay, so we've got Scott Morris here to talk about Moana, Disney's latest animated film.
I hear the dripping venom in your voice as you say that.
So, Scott, you gave it a B-.
And you give it what? What would you give it?
I'd give it an A, but I'm probably not as critical. You know, I'm not as not a movie reviewer, so.
Well, I mean, I give a lot of A's out. I mean, we enjoyed the movie. B. I mean, the B range is still the B range.
B is still good.
B minus there is what I gave it, and I have reasons for it, and some of it is. So the story is about a young girl on a South Pacific island. And because of a curse, the island is suffering. The fish, there are no fish, and the coconuts are rotting. And but she's a child of destiny. She has a calling to go out across the oceans and find this demigod Maui, played by Dwayne Johnson, and try to restore the natural order of things for her island and her family. And the very lush animation. That scene when she first leaves and there's that little rustle through the trees, mm-hmm. and then the manta ray shows up, mm-hmm. that was fantastic.
Yeah, I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Very powerful moment. And so entertaining throughout. I thought that Dwayne Johnson acquitted himself as well as I could ever expect Dwayne Johnson would on a singing number.
I was impressed, yeah, with his singing. I just didn't really know what to expect, but it was good.
Well, but as a journalist, I thought there is a possibility auto-tune was involved.
You might be right about that.
I'm not positive. I'm just saying my cynical side says there may have been. I like the little shiny. I like the shiny production number at the bottom of the sea. That was good, mm-hmm. From this very sparkly crab. But I had a couple of problems with the movie that that attracted points for, and it took me a while to figure out what was bothering me about it, because as I'm watching it, I'm entertained, but I'm going, there's something about this that's bothering me. And then I realized that if you go buy a book a storytelling book about the hero's journey. You could just plot every bit on this film. It's like it follows pretty much every action beat from Star Wars. It's not exactly Star Wars, but it kind of follows. I felt a little bit of formula going on here that wasn't disguised. It seemed almost obvious that it was like straight to storytelling 101 for this story. Now, a lot of people love that, and a lot of people don't know, have studied it the way I have, but they kind of bother me a little bit. Yeah. I also felt like, and this is something you find out pretty early, that the ocean is her ally, and the ocean is a character in this story. And I just felt like the whole time, you know, it's a Disney movie, so you pretty much know everything's going to be fine anyway. But then even when things got kind of rough, it's like I couldn't really get all that stressed about it, just in kind of the suspension of disbelief, because, well, the ocean can just, you know, pick her up and put her back on the land if she needs to. And I think that aspect of it, there was no threat to her, and it kind of, again, it gave me an emotional distance to the movie. I don't think that would affect kids. But you really enjoyed it.
I did.
You love the production numbers and all that?
I just enjoyed the music, and it just felt, it, like you said, it's a formula. Like, it's a Disney movie. It's kind of classic. This, you know, the story is very familiar, but I kind of liked that about it. It was just kind of a nostalgic feeling for me. And it reminded me a lot of my favorite Disney movies. It felt a lot like Pocahontas and Mulan and Hercules, and kind of it had parts of that, and it just kind of, I think it was a nostalgia thing, but I just really enjoyed it. But I think you make some good points.
Well, I can understand where you're coming from. I mean, again, the animation is wonderful, and mm-hmm. and the numbers I enjoyed. I think that little kids will really enjoy it, and I think there's a fun moment in there about whether she's a Disney princess or not, or whether she's a princess or not.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and also, I got to mention the chicken. I enjoyed Hey Hey the Chicken.
Yeah, he was really good comic relief.
He was, and he gave some really nice laughs here and there.
Yeah.
So, hey, showing at the Cinemark in Tupelo, and again, I give it a B-, and Emma Kent gives it an A.
Yes. Plus.
Did anybody else ever see it?
Derek saw it.
I saw it.
What do you give it?
A-.
A-. So see, he's on your side.
Did you stay through the credits?
Not all of them.
Did you?
No.
Was there something?
It's a fantastic final scene.
Let's talk about the animated short before the movie.
That I give an A+.
Man, that was good.
That's one of the best Disney shorts I have ever
seen. It was really good. I thought it was really good.
I'll tell you what. And everybody in the theater was laughing about the bladder.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining.
So I think I'm outvoted here. I've got like two in A range, and then I'm down in the bottom of the B's. But I'll stand by my grade. But again,
as long as it wasn't frozen, I was happy with it.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Derek, let it go.
I have. Trust me.
You're welcome.
Ha. Good one.
It's B-minus one anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you, Scott, for joining us.
Well, thank you so very much for having me.
And now, Derek Russell with the scene section. Okay. So now we're going to talk to Derek about what's going on around town this weekend.
Well, lot of stuff going on around town next weekend is mostly what we're covering this week. Although you do find at the top on your punch list today some things you can do this weekend, including Tupelo Ballet's Nutcracker, which will be happening on Saturday with two performances. Also tonight is the 25th annual lighting of Ballard Park. You can get your picture made with the Grinch. That's right. Chris Kiefer will be in attendance. and costume optional there. So you can have your picture made with the Grinch. And that's going to start at 6 p.m., is that correct, Emma?
Yep, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. at Ballard Park, and the Orrin Dunn Museum will have pictures with the Grinch and their annual G.I. Joe Museum happening. So that's always something really cool you can go to. What's happening on Friday, Emma?
On Friday, it looks like we have the Baldwin Main Street Players production of A Christmas Carol, a live radio play.
That's in downtown Baldwin, so you can check that out. And as we said, Nutcracker 2 performances on Saturday. Two of your stories going on this weekend. One, or next weekend, rather, the Magical Sing Feast actually starts on Tuesday of next week. That is an annual event hosted by Tupelo High School. And their department there, choral department, the Madrigals have been around. This is their 42nd, I think, Sing Feast. So it's always...
Same kids?
Yeah. They're getting really tired of it, let me tell
you. They're dedicated.
I was in Sing Feast when I was in high school. So.
Were you really?
I was the jester. Bet you couldn't guess that.
That seems fitting.
Yeah, so I got to wear a jester costume and everything with the pointy shoes. So that's going to be happening at St. James Catholic Church next week. And there's also a matinee or a lunchtime performance at the Tupelo Country Club one day as well. So you need to support them. That's always a great event that makes them able to continue to do this yearly. And then there's also TCT's Christmas production of The Gift of the Magi, which is happening next weekend at the Lyric Theater. Stars a lot of local talent. Going on there, and that's a familiar show. Do you know the story of The Gift of the Magi, Emma?
I think so.
Okay. Has a big twist ending.
Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. We won't spoil it for you then.
Yeah, I don't know spoilers.
It was written in 1905, so.
My mom's favorite. That's her favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good story, but every time somebody says it's their favorite Christmas story, I'm just like, really?
I don't know if it's Christmas. I mean, I just think in general. No. Like, I know we've gotten her, book of it for, like a nice book for present before. I mean, it's so short. I guess it was other Henry
stories. Yeah, it's a short story. This actually has been elongated. There's more story in this version, obviously, to make it a full-length play. So, but if you're not familiar with it, even more the reason to go see it.
You
don't know it. If you do know the twist, it's entertaining enough that you might forget it by the time you get there to the end of it. So, it's not quite like Gone Girl, twist or anything. But
I haven't seen Gone Girl.
Oh. And that's what's happening in Scene on this Thursday. So
cool. Lots of good holiday stuff.
Holidays are in full effect. It is December 1st. So you can't escape it.
Might as well roll
embrace
with it.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Just roll with it and tell everybody happy holidays.
Yep. Merry Christmas.
Or Merry Christmas.
Or Happy Hanukkah.
Or Happy Hanukkah or Happy Kwanzaa.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Cover your bases.
Cover them all. Say it all.
All of it.
Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Emma. For coming on today. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, I know.
You have brought forth some of the best commentary and thought-provoking discussion that we have had on the memo in our year and a half.
Most of it off air.
Sure. Whatever you say. So, I vote Brad doesn't come back.
You know, that means a lot considering I feel like, it's been I don't know. I just feel like...
You've been digging a hole?
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm deserving, but thank you.
You're deserving. I think she's deserving.
Thank you.
She's deserving. Chris doesn't say anything. He's just nodding.
Chris disagrees.
If this were a courtroom, the judge would have yelled at you right then. You need to speak into the microphone, son.
So, no, well,
I'll second
it.
That.
The court reporter doesn't need to record everything that you say. So we'll have you back.
Cool. Good.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be.
Monday?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Just come in here and start. And when he comes in, it's like, man, we already got started. Hey, you can find us online, memo.djournal.com. That is where new episodes are available to download. You can also listen to us for free in iTunes, Satchel, or many other podcast players. You can find out when new episodes are available by following us on Twitter at djournalmemo. And for all the stories we discussed today, you can read them in your daily journal or online at djournal.com. We'll be back on Monday. With a new episode. We'll miss Brad's birthday. His birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Darn.
Was it last year that his dad came on for his birthday?
Because
he turned 40.
40.
41 this year.
Yeah. Remember, a week after he turned 40, he got shingles and blew his back out. So, can't wait to see what happens over the weekend.
Curse. Yeah. The 40s curse.
So, back on Monday. We'll see you guys then. Emma, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.